May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It says this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul's praying for the Ephesians, and of course, he's also praying for all believers. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know, and this is the word to know in your experience, what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards those who believe. He talks about the hope of his calling, and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Every one of us are called with the same calling that Jesus has. As a matter of fact, I said this in my prayer, I mentioned this last week or sometime recently, that one of the great priorities of God's love for us, for Jesus' love for us, is that he'd bring us to a place where we enjoy all the things that he enjoys. We're called to be the bride of Christ, and if you're a good husband, if you're a good, you want your bride to enjoy, you bring her into your world, and you want her to enjoy all that you have. As a matter of fact, all that you have belongs to her. You've become one. Now, if you have two checking accounts, that's wonderful, so this isn't condemning. But we've never had two checking accounts. And one of the reasons is that my money's her money. Now, her money's her money, too. Our money's her money. I don't have any money, evidently. That's the way it works in a marriage. But we have one checking account because, for us, that's been the way we want to operate. That I don't spend things. We don't spend things as we talk to each other because what's mine is hers and what's hers is mine. And there were years when Livia, though she never got paid, she worked a lot more. But even though she's not able to do that much, I never think about that being my money. It's our money. What I earn, quote, is hers. And Jesus, all that Jesus has belongs to me. All that Jesus is belongs to me because Jesus Christ himself is in me. It says in Colossians chapter 2 that all the fullness of deity is embodied in Jesus. And we've been made complete in him. If you're in him, you have him. And if you have him, you have all the fullness living inside of you. That's just part of the thing. There's a verse, it's a really amazing verse. I saw this morning, just spending some time with the Lord. It says this, verse 14, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. And it was for this he called you through our gospel. This is what he called you for, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't say that you would give glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, but you would experience the glory that Jesus experiences. It says in Colossians chapter 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. Now when Christ, who is your life, appears, that's not about the second coming. I mean, when Christ, who is our life, is manifest, you will be manifested with him in glory. And Jesus' desire is that we would enjoy the glory that he walks in. Because we're in union with him. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. So everything that Jesus has, I have. Jesus, at least on paper, is supposed to have everything I have. But when we walk in that in reality, when I'm giving up everything I have to him, and he's already giving up everything that he is to me, I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. I have the opportunity to enjoy the glory, he says, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:27 says, here's the great mystery of God, the great mystery of the gospel. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you see, God could have saved us by tapping us on the shoulder and declaring us saved and forgiven, giving us a ticket, an invisible ticket to heaven. But that's not what this is all about. The glory of the gospel is Christ himself living in you, making you a totally new creation. Christ living in you, your hope of glory. And that because Christ lives in you, you can walk in the glory that belongs to Jesus. Now, glory, let me help you understand, glory is just God's beauty, all that God is, unveiled. Now, that includes everything you can think of. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. All those power, wisdom, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, insight, all the gifts of the Spirit, all those things are yours because you're in Christ. We get in trouble when we go after just one of those things. We walk in balance when we go after Christ. But Christ in me is all that stuff. He's the power of God to me, the Scripture says. That's what he said in that Ephesians passage I read. We know the hope of his calling and the power, his power, the same power that raised him from the dead that lives inside of us. Now here's the thing, if I were to ask a question, say to you, we speak about glory, because this next week we're going to have a conference here about healing. We're going to talk a lot about the power of Jesus being manifest. Well, the power of Jesus being manifest in our lives to bring about healing is just part of his glory. And God wants us to walk in that. What we're going after is not being me as anointed as this person or being as anointed as this person I read about. It's going after the anointing that Jesus walks in, because that's the anointing that you have and I have. You see, the same spirit of Jesus that's in heaven is in you and in me. The difference is, in heaven, he's clothed and robed in glory. Here, he's still disguised by our fallen flesh. As we learn to walk a surrendered life, we learn to walk in faith, we learn to allow him to deal with us, it's the same spirit of Christ. We walk in more and more of his ministry and his likeness. But if I were to ask most charismatics this question, well, how do you release that kind of stuff in your life? Most of them would say, well, get somebody to lay hands on you. Fresh impartation. And I believe in impartation. Those of you who are CTK, no, we pray for that all the time. That's one of the ways that God brings increase. But let me just tell you, the primary way the Lord releases the glory of God in your life, in light of the fact that we live in this fallen flesh. I'll read this one verse, then I'll read one more real quick, and we'll talk about this later, another time. We're going to be here together for a long time, right? The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way to the holy place has not been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing. So one of the things that God does is he deals with the outer man. And the more and more breaking he brings to the outer man that we cooperate with, the more and more the inner man that's in union with Jesus manifests. More and more the new creation of which Christ is the heart of comes forth. Now this is not the one we like to advertise. We like to advertise, come, get prayer, get somebody to lay hands on you, you know, have some experience, and you'll increase. You'll have great increase. You can have increase. Again, I believe that. We'll do that next week. We do that here. Let me show you what the Scripture says is the primary way. Remember John 15? What's the primary way of accelerating fruitfulness? Pruning. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts and given the light of the knowledge, experience of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Given us the experience of the glory of God in the face speaks of presence in the presence of Christ. And Christ lives in us. For we have this treasure, the glory of God in the person of Christ, in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from us. So those of us who are going for a greater expression of the anointing in the Spirit, isn't that what we're going for? A surpassing greatness of the power that's of God? At a higher level, at a higher level? It's all in Jesus who lives in earthen vessels. It's all in a person. Jesus isn't just our place of intimacy. He's our place of adequacy. He's our place of immunity to the attacks of the enemy. He's our safe place. He's our secret place. He's where we find and experience and express the glory of God, which includes his power. Then he goes on, he says, here's the process. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. He knows what they're doing. He knows how much to prune. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for the sake of Jesus, that his life may also be manifest in our mortal flesh, so death works in us and life in you. You see, Jesus desires that we would gain his glory, that we would experience his glory. He's given us his glory. We're in Christ. Christ is in us. But as long as the outer tabernacle is still standing, the inner, that which is inside is inhibited and restrained. So what does Christ do? That's a little affliction, a little of this, a little of that, a little of that. Is the devil doing it? Yeah, but Jesus is Lord. What does he do with that? He teaches us not to depend on our outer man. He teaches us to go inward. He teaches us to draw from the glory of Christ that lives in us. So that death that's working in our outer man is releasing the anointing of the life of Christ, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. I don't see that too many times on billboards and little signs. Release the surpassing greatness of the power of God in your life. Come and hear a conference about being perplexed and being despaired and being crushed and being broken. But that's the truth. It's always been God's way. We live in a world at war. There's a real devil. And God doesn't waste any of that. He uses that to conform us to the image of Jesus. He uses that to break the outer man. He uses that to teach us to draw from the life of Christ. Because Paul said, because when death works in us, it ends up being life in you. As I surrender to the walk of the cross, it results in an anointing that comes forth as I draw from the glory that affects and changes people's lives. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.